grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What would you think of a friend who you'd known for many years and had promised to always care about you, even promised to be there for you whenever you were in trouble, and then all of a sudden just stopped communicating? No matter how much you called them, they never answered. You knew they weren't dead, but they just stopped talking to you. How would you feel? How would you, or what would you think? When the prophet Malachi died, the word of the Lord fell silent. There was no one on whom the Spirit of the Lord came to rest, no one who declared, "The word of the Lord came to me and said, thus declares the Lord of hosts." The Lord was silent for 400 years. Silence is uncomfortable, isn't it? Especially in a worship service. What's going on? Did he lose his place? It's been known to happen before. Why isn't he talking? Is he okay? Should I call 911? Silence, especially silence when there shouldn't be silence, when someone should be speaking, makes us uncomfortable. Imagine then how the Israelites must have felt. For generations, God had been very active among them. When they were taken into exile in Babylon, Daniel, Ezekiel, the other prophets, not only spoke God's word to them, but reminded them that previous prophets had told them that this was going to happen, and why. And when they returned to their homeland, God spoke. He spoke to them through his prophets Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. They got that wall around Jerusalem repaired and restored, the temple rebuilt so the required sacrifices could begin again, and they were just settling in when God went silent. And for 400 long years, there was silence. That's longer than the U.S. has been around. I'm sure that there were many times that you've been okay with being alone with just your thoughts. Sometimes it's soothing. Sometimes it's even necessary. But if silence goes on for too long, it can devastate the heart and the mind. Lack of communication destroys marriages, ruins relationships. It must have been terrible for those people of God. Where was God? Where were his prophets? If God has gone silent, are all of his promises still good? Has he abandoned us? If so, what did we do? If he's still there, how do we get his attention? It was a terrible, deafening, and godly silence. But then, as the Apostle Paul would write in Romans chapter 6 some years later, at just the right time, his voice was back. The silence of the prophets was shattered. From the wilderness, a voice came proclaiming the words of the prophet Isaiah, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." John's preaching prepared the way as he spoke of the greater one who was coming to gather the wheat and burn the chaff. The Messiah is coming, and he's even here, he said. Everything Moses and the prophets spoke about is coming to pass right now. Don't miss it. Hold on. Get ready. And the Messiah came. And he did come, as John said, with fire and the Holy Spirit. But instead of being a terrible judge, he came as a lamb. John, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Messiah heals and teaches with gentleness. He calls disciples and raises the dead to life. He loves the lame, the mute, those who see and those who are blind. In humility, this Messiah touches lepers and washes feet. The Word of God came as the Lamb of God, lowly and gentle and humble to the point of death, even death on a cross. After 400 years, the people of Israel desperately wanted and needed to hear God, and they were given exactly what they needed in this Lamb. And this Lamb is exactly what we need as well. In this world where death still lords over us, we sinners long for that gentle Lamb who is also our good shepherd. Because our enemy stalks us with cold efficiency. From the moment we're born, he does his evil best to try to turn us into spiritual corpses. Satan's purpose is to take our eyes off the light and make sin seem like it's good, that it's right, that it's the noble thing to do. And that happens in many ways. We ignore the importance of God's word for our faith, not reading it, not coming to where we can hear it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ignore our neighbors, even turning against them, whispering against them, generally treating them as if they aren't someone for whom Christ died. When I sin in this way, or when you sin in this way, when we sin in any way, we offend God. Our sins are no small thing. They're a personal attack against God. Because when we willfully sin, and let's all admit it, we all willfully sin. We're telling God, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And a lifetime of doing this proves that your sin, like my sin, is a God-sized problem. We're nowhere near big enough to solve it ourselves. After all those centuries of silence, Israel heard God's voice. And we need to hear that voice. Jesus' voice, the very voice of God. John had pointed to him, told us to listen to him, and now Jesus speaks and shatters our silence. Just a few minutes ago, we heard how he did that then. After all those centuries of silence, there were those who knew they needed to hear him. The verses right before what we heard this morning talked a little bit more about that. Jesus invited Andrew to come and see. And Andrew came and he saw and he heard and he stayed. And he invited his brother, brought his brother Simon. And Simon heard Jesus give him a new name, Peter. The rock. And Peter followed. And then Jesus called to Philip, as we heard this morning, follow me. And Philip did. And he understood, and he said to his friend Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. The long-promised Messiah has come to the world and shattered the silence. And what did that lamb say? Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. He said to Nicodemus, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And he cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the voice of our God. Not just to Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. That's how God shows the depth of his love for you and for me. The Messiah, Christ Jesus, continues to invade the world through his word. And the kingdom of the enemy has no chance. God invaded our world in his first words, were the cry of a baby. There were no huge machines of war, no uniforms with medals and general stars, but rather strips of common cloth to swaddle a baby and a bright single star to light the way for travelers bearing gifts for a king. The silence of heaven was broken with Jesus' infant cries and with John recognizing him as the Lamb to be slain. And Christ will save those who trust in him. Just as Moses and the prophets said, he will save them by dying for them. Can you and I, can we even begin to understand the wonder and the majesty of that baby in the manger if we don't embrace the truth that he has revealed to be the man on the cross for sinners? On that hill called Calvary, it looked as if Satan had won the battle. The Messiah was wounded and nailed. The Son of Mary looked to the sky and shouted for his Father. And again, the silence was deafening. But then on the third day, the silence of heaven was shattered by the sound of an earthquake. The silence was broken with the announcement of an angel who said, "He is not here, for he has risen." Death and grave were no match for this Lamb, for this Savior, for our Savior. And now, even today, after all those centuries of silence, some still eagerly hear the words, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. He's Jesus of Nazareth." And even today, others like Nathanael say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Those who don't know what their problems are, that their problems are God-sized, will always hold out for a voice more of their liking. What about us? Here's what Paul says to you and to me in Colossians. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And the writer of the Hebrews tells us, "Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son." Jesus is God's final word to you and to me, because in Jesus, God has given us all that we need. Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Jesus answered by revealing to him that he and he alone is the one who bridges heaven and earth. He is that ladder upon whom the angels ascend and descend. And that was enough for Nathanael, as he proclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And that must be our confession as well. We too must believe. Because when we do, he who is the Word of God in the flesh saves us. His message hasn't changed. He says, "Get ready. Repent and believe the good news. Surely I am coming soon." And our response must always be, "Amen." Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.